It's been forever, but we're back.
Hello. We're
back. Hello.
Hello, hello.
I got a question on the Discord.
Okay.
If we were ever coming back, people were getting nervous.
I was wondering too.
I posted on Patreon a couple of weeks ago, just telling people, like, don't worry. We have to take another week off, but we will be back, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want anybody to get scared. It was supposed to be, man, this is really weird. I'm wearing different headphones, and I can't hear myself. Is there an echo if I do that?
No.
I don't
hear an echo.
Okay. Because it's like my, because we didn't record for 5 weeks, my AirPods, the battery in them was dead. So I don't have my normal headphones and it sounds really weird. I don't know.
Anyway. I have a problem with headphones. I have weird sensory things that I deal with. I don't like things in my pocket. I don't like people touching me without knowing. And headphones has always been weird, especially like I make music and right. you need over the ear headphones, and they always made my ears real itchy. I found these guys from Sennheiser, and they're the open back, so you can hear out, but they have a little cutaway for your glasses on the foam.
Oh,
and they're the most comfortable headphones I have ever had.
Huh, oh, that's just cool.
If you're curious, it is the HD 490 Pro.
Very
cool. Cool.
Recommended.
I don't wear glasses anymore, but that is cool to know.
Did you get LASIK surgery?
No, I've just been wearing contacts for a long time now. Anyway, I can hear. Finally, this sounds better. Thank you. What was I saying? We were going to be off and on for a few weeks.
I was traveling for three weeks,
and so we were going to do, like, you know, shows in between, and then, I don't remember, Jimmy was gone.
I had to shoot a commercial for Carhartt, which is coming out in the fall. Me and Derek went and did a Carhartt commercial, which was fun.
And so
I had to take that Wednesday
off. We did that
off
1 week, and then David had his show, which I cannot wait to hear about, and then he took a week off, and so it just ended up being 5 weeks, but we're back. So
we've all done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's going to start getting cold outside.
Oh, man. Yesterday, one of my kids was telling me, because, you know, we got back from our trip, our last trip, not last night, but in the middle of the night before that. So I saw my kids for the first time yesterday. And we were just kind of catching up and stuff. And he was like, man, it feels like school is, like, about to start. I really don't want the summer to be over. You know, it's like already dreading the back to school thing. But it does kind of feel like that because we're back in a groove. So everybody's been doing different stuff. How do we want to do this? We have a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
Do we want to go through the weeks, or do we just want to each go, like, each person? What's the last over a month been like?
Yeah.
Let's go first.
All right, Jimmy, go.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go first. I started working on the go-kart. I took a couple of trips. I ended up, we did that Carhartt stint. That was fun. That was about 3 weeks ago. It was just a one-day shoot here in New York. And it was in a town called Delhi at a very interesting place. I don't want to say much more just now, but it was a really interesting factory that makes interesting things that everybody sees all the time. And it's like one of those, like, I didn't know that was made here. I'll talk about it in the after show. I just don't want to publish anything that I shouldn't before it's too soon. And besides that, I ended up going out to a member of Rachel's family passed away a year ago. So they did the unveiling of the headstone on Chappaquiddick Island, which is, I've never been. So I made sure I got out there. Actually went to Weaver, which I was right in your neighborhood, Dave, the weekend of your show. We went to the Weaver The Weaver leather class, and there's lots of different disciplines taught, and it was really amazing. Apparently, year one, we had about 30 people, and this year we had almost 100, so it's really growing quickly, and I'm sure we'll do it again next year. But it was the same weekend as your show, but I rushed back to New York to drop off my truckload of stuff and people that were with me. We were in my car, and then I drove right out to Massachusetts and got on a boat to go to Martha's Vineyard, and then from Martha's Vineyard, you drive across a little ferry to Chappaquiddick. And that's where Rachel's aunt and uncle live. And it was really, really beautiful ceremony. And it was very, very nice. Met some really wonderful people. And but I didn't think I was going to make it. So I realized, I thought the leather event was Saturday Friday, Saturday, but it was actually Thursday, Friday. So I finished up Friday night. So that's why a lot of the fans that I saw were asking me if I was going to come see you. And I realized I could go make Rachel's event. So I wanted to do that instead. So no disrespect, Dave. That's why I ran back to New York. But it was a wonderful time. And what else did I do? Oh, and then through all of it, this is why I bring this up. Through all of it, I was trying to find time to weld on my go-kart. I made my go-kart electric completely from scratch. I knew nothing about the electrical drivetrain. So I had Matt from Spark Cycle Works, who I met at Maker Camp. Great guy. Wonderful company. He's got all kinds of crazy cool technology. And he sells more of the electrical parts than he does motorcycles, I think. So if you're looking for electrical components, and he has a couple of proprietary products that he makes, and a couple of assemblages of drivetrains that he offers. So we talked at Maker Camp in October, and he says, sure, I'd be happy to help. So I built the frame. He came out. We put the motor on. And then I got myself cornered into welding up this shell that became the upper part of the go-kart. It's kind of like it's definitely a prop. I mean, it's not something I'm going to drive cross country, but it is extremely fast. The electric motor really does what it's supposed to do. And you go on an app, and in the app, it's a Far Driver, you go into the Far Driver app and you could change a lot of things about it. You could change the horsepower. This motor that we put on the go-kart has a ceiling of about 25 horsepower, but in the app, we only programmed it to 10. And then it has three speeds, slow, medium, and fast. And then it has reverse. So you push a button and you go backwards. But I cornered myself into welding up this frame. I thought I was all that by being able to shape metal. And then I looked at the metal that I had, and I looked at all the crazy shapes inside this thing. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to corner myself by wasting all this. I only had one sheet of aluminum and a little extra piece to make the body with, and then I had other trips in between. So every time I was back in the shop, I was just welding, continuously welding. So I decided to make the upper shell out of pieces. So I made all the defining edges, and then in between, I just filled it in with patches. And I thought I was going to grind all those welds, but I left them. So it looks like a vintage race car that's been fixed 1,000 times. There's all these welds all over it. Cool. And I always say, if you're consistently crappy enough throughout the beginning to the end of the project, that looks intentional. It looks like a design decision. And that's what I went with. The bad welds and the multiple welds becomes a design decision. And not something that I just couldn't overcome. But I talk about it in the video.
You should have told me that at the beginning of the Ghia. It would have made my process way easier.
Yeah. If it's consistently bumpy and lumpy, it's a design decision. It's not something done unintentionally bad. And so I made my way through that, and now I can TIG weld aluminum so good. I just kept reminding myself, by the time I'm done with this, I can't imagine there's probably 1,000 feet of weld, maybe more. Maybe there's 2,000 feet of weld. I don't know. Maybe not. Somebody could do the math on that. But there's welds everywhere. Patch, all connected together. And so it was a real learning experience there. So I didn't think I'd be able to shape like the whole quarter panel. So I shaped little bits of it. And I was safer. I didn't use an English wheel. I just used a hammer and a piece of wood with a scoop cut in it to make my cupping. But once it was all done, I was really happy with it. It's some things I changed, but I'm making something completely from scratch, going down a road that I've hardly gone down before. And go-kart day came. It went really well. Nobody got hurt. And it was a lot of fun. We had about 100 people. And my family was all in town. My brother and his kids are in from LA. My brother from Jersey with his wife and my mother. And we had a really nice time. My sister was up. So last weekend, like once that was done, all that pressure from the go-kart build and everything, I just was like, oof. I spent the day after, I guess that would be Monday, changing the brakes on the Jaguar. I put it on my Patreon. I was like, this is how I relax. Jack up the Jaguar and fiddle with brakes on a European car that are impossible to fix. And I made my way through it. And by the end of like just about sundown, I'm like cruising around with the top down, feeling like, because the car was shuddering. The whole front end was all shuddering because the brake discs had warpage. So I changed all that. It was fun. So I'm just settling into a couple of the various car projects. I don't think I'm going to have a video this weekend because I got some stuff going on coming up to Friday, but I started a couple of small projects. And then next weekend, I got a busy weekend. So the summer, it's just every weekend there's something coming up for me. but it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's it. And then, what else? I can't even remember what other videos I've done. Oh, I made chicken nesting boxes. And that actually, believe it or not, some people who follow me on Patreon know I made the chicken nesting boxes. It was a CNC. People think nesting means that the boxes are all going to fit together. I mean, nesting for where a chicken sits and makes an egg, lays an egg. And they work. Mm. I go out there. There's one chicken that uses, I call her Goldilocks, because she sits in every other one. Every night she's in this one. Next night she's in that one. There's nine of them on the wall. And some of them just go up there, lay an egg, and come down. It's crazy that it works. It really is working. I have a whole crop of new chickens. I got 22 babies. I got them in April or May. And so they're just becoming of age. But I'm hoping that they'll take to the boxes on the wall, and I'll have nine full nesting boxes. You know what the chances of buying 24 birds and then all of them being hens is? Like zero. But a couple of years ago, I bought like 30 birds and 15 of them were roosters.
Oh, gosh.
So now it's swung the other way. I bought 24 birds. Two of them died, but I bought 24 birds and all of them are hens. So I got very lucky. So I'm hoping that they'll all start taking to the boxes as they mature a little bit. And I don't know. There was other videos. I can't think of what I did, but.
So what is it that drives a hen to go into a box to lay an egg rather than just wherever they are?
I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing. Everybody who doesn't know anything about chickens or farm life, they say to me, they go, how do you get the chickens to go in the coop every night? This, my family was asking. I'm like, nothing. It's just like completely maintenance free. You just got to make sure they have food and water. That's it. They go in the coop by themselves and they take to the boxes, or they take to the roosting branch. There's a couple of branches in there where they kind of roost. The word roosting, I think, just means sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
People are like, are they roosting? I'm like, you mean sitting there doing nothing? Yeah, they're doing that. And then, so they're all on the roosting branches, and then there's like two or three of them in the boxes. That's it. Yeah.
Crazy.
So pretty soon the babies will start laying eggs eventually, and hopefully they'll do it all in those boxes because they've grown up with them. The older generation, I have five chickens that are like 6 and 8 years old, maybe not that old, but maybe 6, 7 years old. And those are the ones that are taken to the boxes right away. They never had them. They used to just lay eggs on the floor. So I can't. Oh, and then I've been doing pottery, a lot of pottery. I'm trying to do a firing about every 2 or 3 weeks. So when I have some free time, I go out and I'll just cut up a bunch of 1 pound lumps and just make cups, or I'll cut up a bunch of 3 pound lumps and make bowls, and 5 pound lumps. And
so are you making, are you doing new things with pottery? Like, are you making,
I made a set of plates for the house. Yeah. For our kitchen, I made 5 plates and a bunch of bowls. I'm trying to like do a lot of repetitive things so that I can get good at muscle memory. So I'm doing, like I said, I'll cut up a bunch of 1 pound lumps and make cups, and then I'll make a lump of the same size and see what I could do with that each time. So I'm just getting practiced on the wheel. And, you know, sometimes you think you're doing good. Sometimes you're just like, how did I ever even think I know what I'm doing? It's like one of those things where the learning gets good. And then one day you just have a really bad day and you go, what is the point of this? Like, why did I even think I knew what I was doing? So I'm going through that as well with the pottery.
Yeah. You've had a pretty significant few weeks, I would assume. I mean, I don't know. The show, even though I'm really bummed that I didn't get to go, your show seemed like a really big deal to me for you. So I've been really excited to hear about it.
It definitely was. I'm feeling the post show crash because I built it up so big that I'm having a hard time podcasting. Which is obvious, right? And having a hard time just getting back into the groove of making videos. But the show was a complete success. On that first day, so many people showed up in Weaver leather shirts. So, and they got to hang out with Jimmy.
Yeah, everybody
the night
that, there was at least 5 or 7 guys that were going to see you right after the event that I was at.
Yeah. All of my concerns and worries were, They weren't necessary. I was all worried that I wasn't going to have enough. And then I didn't get to finish a couple of the pieces that I wanted to be in the show, which is, there wasn't even room for me, even if I did. So, I just stressed out about nothing. We were all set up like the day before. And so the day of the show, I just showed up like 15 minutes before it was supposed to start, which was at 6 p.m. We had a meetup for Patreon members at Kencraft earlier in the day, which was fun. And then I went home and rested a little bit, and I showed up 15 minutes before the show started. And there was already a bunch of people there. And I go to drop off my cooler behind the bar, and then a line immediately formed to me. And for the next 2 hours, I never left that corner of the building, just talking to people and meeting people in line. My own sister and family and friends had to wait 30 minutes in line just to say hello to me. It was weird. It was absolutely amazing. So many people showed up on that. What's that?
You needed that. You needed that. You needed to connect with your fans that love you.
It was just everything about it just exceeded my expectations. That's the whole thing was a success. We sold some things. People showed up. People had a good time. And it was just absolutely amazing. Something I've wanted to do all my life. And then I met that goal. And I'm going to do it again. I need more time next time. I'm not going to wait until 2 months to try to finish everything up. So I learned, maybe, we'll see. I mean, I don't always learn all the lessons. But that's what I want to do. I just want to make art now. And I just want to finish some of these ideas that I have. And as I was making things, I was like, oh man, next time I would do it different. I would do it this way. And so it's weird when you can kind of inspire yourself by what you make to make more or make something different. And just, man, it was just crazy awesome. The second day, the following Saturday, was much more calm. I mean, there was like a tenth of the people there. Still good turnout. I sold just as much on the second day. And I also people traveled in, and I don't think the gallery owner was expecting so many people to show up, because we had this big, one of the big projects was this, the show was called Unsubscribe. So we had this board made up of 200 tiles, and all together the tiles would say Unsubscribe. And it was a way to, you could buy a little something for $55 and walk away with it. And, you know, we're like, sculptures and stuff are very expensive, and, you know, more than $1,000. So I wanted something, and there were free things. I did some block prints and we had stickers and pins, but I wanted something like a physical thing that I made that you could walk away with. And people started buying them right away. And Jerry, who was handling all the sales, was just like, okay, we got to slow down, at one at a time. It was pretty overwhelming for him. But, yeah, that's who I am now. I think I'm an artist now.
I could have told you that.
You've always been. You're just figuring out your marketing. Well, that's the only difference.
I appreciate that. I thank you for that. And I want the channel to continue making those things. Although these videos over the past few months have been some of the lowest viewed videos of many years. Like my baseline is now very low. And I mean, that's okay, but it's how I make my living. And it's also, those numbers are what drives new sponsors. So I'm in this weird spot where like, this is what I want to do, but I also want to make a living. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm kind of in that position right now. And then after everything, I took a week off. And after everything, I'm just having a little hard time getting back into the filming and groove of making videos. And I have some really cool projects, just absolutely not motivated to come up with the final design or what I need to get started. So this week I just made a simple box, and it was like, hey, I'm feeling I met this dream goal, and now I don't know what to do with myself. I just feel like I can't get back into them. So I'm just going to make a box, something I know how to make. And it's going to be all the, I'm going to put all the keepsakes and some of the gifts that I got from the show. And I made the front page of the local paper, which was just stupid bonkers. So the box is the size of a newspaper. And so we're working on that now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really bummed that I didn't get to come to it, but I'm so glad that it went well. I mean,
thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Very, very cool.
Jimmy sent a nice message the day before saying, hey, we got to go back to home to take care of the memorial service that you went to. And so people were bummed, but lots of people got to hang out with you the night before at Weaver.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a good turnout at Weaver, just a couple miles from you. Well, a couple, 2 hours from you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you think... I mean, obviously you'll do some things different. You learned a lot from doing the show, prepping the show. Like, what are the biggest things that you think you'll do differently next time? Start earlier?
Yeah, definitely start earlier. So, I mean, a few of the things I've made over the last couple of years, but a lot of the things were made over the last 6 months, and I kind of slowly ramped up. And then the last 2 months, I'm like, I was even afraid to count how many pieces that I had because I didn't want to know the actual number. It went back to my days of living in the apartment and I just wouldn't open my mail or I wouldn't answer the phone because it would be a collector and I would rather just not know. So I wouldn't even count the number of pieces that I had because I was afraid that that number would be too low.
I have that anxiety all the time.
Yeah. And it turns out it all worked out. So I would, the thought is I'm going to work more on art as a normal part of the process throughout the year. You know, there's some furniture things that I got to be made. And then in between that, I'm going to do, you know, things that don't have a function. And so, it kind of changed my attitude a little bit too, where when I make furniture, it feels like everything has to be perfect. I want all the joints to be perfect. And it's very upsetting when you spend 2 weeks making something and it doesn't come out perfect. And I feel like with the art, it doesn't have to be perfect because the only expectation is from yourself, not from other people. And I'm like, I need to apply this. Not everything has to be perfect to everything that I do. And I would be able to get through projects a little bit more. So I'm hoping it changes my attitude on that.
Cool.
And I'm really just trying to, the thing that I want is I want to get out of the, you know, I've been doing this for 12 years. I think most of my audience is woodworkers and people who want to see woodworking or who want to see tools. And I really want to expand my audience to people who just want to see cool things be made or artwork or just the creative process. And so I'm hoping me doing these things that are getting low views now will turn into like people who want to see art being made. So I'm hoping to expand my audience a little bit.
Yeah. That kind of a transition, anytime you change how often you do things, how you do things, what the things are, it's a slow transition because you have to have that audience turnover. You know, there's a time where people just fall away or don't pay attention because it's not for them. But at the same time, you know, new people will be coming on and it takes a while for that transition to happen. And it's not fun to have low views for a long time and
no.
things to change in a way that you don't like and stuff, but it's, yeah. I mean, like when I cut back from 4 videos to 2 videos a month, there was the immediate feeling of like, oh, well, there's way less money coming in than there was before. My situation was different, but, you know, it was a noticeable, okay, I have to recalibrate everything. If I'm going to make this choice, then I have to be willing to recalibrate and like just let things kind of go nuts for a little while in a bad way. But I will say, for me at least, that transition of changing how I did things and how often I did things was like the best possible thing for me, you know, like my head and my heart, like I needed that. So if you're feeling that and that's the way you want to go, that transition will be tough, but it'll be the right thing for you.
Right. I know I've said this many times over the last couple of years, but I would like to be able to, like, not every video has to be this grand thing. Like, I want to be able to just make a box. You know, it could be something stupid simple that I've done before. I always try, just for my own satisfaction and entertainment, I always try to do something a little bit different every single time. I don't really enjoy making the same thing over and over again. So I want people to watch because of my process and not because of the whatever is in the thumbnail. And that's a hard thing. And yeah. Packaging is always going to be the hardest thing for me.
Likewise. Cool. Well, I've had
multiple trips.
Yeah. I've gone on 3 trips in the last 5 weeks. We went to Florida first to see family. And it's Jenny's from down there. So we went to see her family and stopped on the way down and went to Savannah. I got to see a bunch of my old friends and spend time with people I hadn't seen in a really long time. And that was just wonderful. And then we went to Florida, got to spend time with family, went to the beach a couple times, went kayaking with the kids, saw a monkey.
Tell me more.
Yeah, there are monkeys in Florida. I don't know if you know this or not.
No, you know, like wild?
Yeah. So we went to Silver Springs, which is a natural spring in North Florida. And it's where they filmed the original Tarzan movie, like back in like 1920 something. Or I don't know.
Oh, I think I heard about this. And then they let the monkeys go.
Yeah. So they brought monkeys there for the filming so they make it look like it was in, you know, an actual jungle. And then they just left the monkeys there. And that was over 100 years ago. And so now there's like invasive monkeys that just live around that area. And they've migrated out to different parts and they don't really survive but they're not protected because they're invasive. So the government's just like, you can't feed the monkeys, but otherwise we don't care what you do. So some people hunt them, some people, you know, don't protect them or whatever. Anyway, so we've been to this spring a few times over the years and we've never actually seen any of the monkeys, but this time we were kayaking and there was one just like sitting right there eating something. And so we're like, oh, cool, a monkey. And everybody pulls out their phone and starts taking pictures. And then like later on, we go to show people pictures of the monkey and we realize that the monkey was just sitting there spread eagle. So it's like a picture you don't really want to show to anybody, but it's a monkey. You know, but
wouldn't it be funny if the monkey pulled out his iPhone instead of taking pictures of you guys?
There's like a 25-year-old Dane Cook bit where he talks about everybody thinks they want a monkey until they get a monkey, and then they start throwing poop everywhere.
So we did that. Florida was cool. And then on the way back, we stopped in Atlanta and saw a good friend of mine, Dave, and his family. And that was great as well. We were back for a week. And then we went on a mission trip with the youth of our church. Jenny and I went as like leaders and we went to Eastern Kentucky and then we went to McCracken County. I think it's McCracken. I think that's what it was. And apparently it's one of the poorest counties in the country, which I was not aware of. And so we went to this place where it's just Appalachia. It's beautiful, but very, very low income. A lot of people struggling in a lot of different ways with a lot of different things. And so as a group, we had about 50 students and there were 2 adults for each group. And so we went and broke up into construction crews. And beforehand, we had identified like families or individuals who needed help somehow. You know, they needed some work done on their home or they needed something. And so we went and just did manual labor for a week and it was beautiful and
it's great,
gratifying. And the lady that we, our group got to spend time with was just a joy. And we got to know her and spend a lot of time with her and to make her house better for her. And, it was amazing. I could talk about that trip for an hour easily. Mm. And that was camping. So we stayed at a state campground. So we would go camp and then we would get up and go to the house and do construction all day and then come back, jump in the river, swim and go back to the campground. And so it was exhausting, you know, like didn't sleep super well, but it was an amazing trip. And all my kids went, So all six of us got to go on that trip together, which was really, really cool. And everybody got to do different things. Like, we weren't all in the same group. So everybody got to come back every night and talk about, you know, what they had done and learned and who they'd met. And, it was really, really cool. So we did that and then went whitewater rafting at the end of that trip. Like, on the last day is always kind of like a fun day. And so we go, either one of you ever been whitewater rafting?
No.
Okay. I've been a few times and this one was
looks
very
dangerous.
Memorable. Yeah, I mean, anything's dangerous. You're coming from you. Yeah. So with whitewater rafting, you raft on a river that has moving water because it has to create rapids, right? So usually there's some paddling, but it's like steering, or like we have to get over to this thing really quickly. And there's just a little burst of paddling. There's nine, and the boats we were on, there were nine people. And it was like two adults, the guide, and a bunch of teenagers who are not super helpful when it comes to paddling. So we go to this, we're on the Cumberland River, which is gorgeous. If you ever get the chance to go to Cumberland Falls, beautiful. So we paddle down through 5 miles of rapids, and it's like six rapids or five rapids or something like that. So, you know, you're flowing with the water a little bit, go through a rapid, it's real exciting, and then you flow for a little bit. It's like that. You get to the end of this 5 miles, and then it turns into flat water. And so the idea was we go down through all this, we get to the flat water, and then a riverboat comes up the river and picks us up and takes us 5 more miles. And then we eat lunch on this riverboat, some sandwiches and stuff. And then we take out. So we do the rapids, we get to the 5 mile mark, and they're like, all right, everybody jump in, swim for a little while till the riverboat gets here. So we swim and we swim, and then everybody's kind of bored. So they flip the guides flip the rafts over upside down, and then we have wrestling matches on top of the it was so awesome, like all these teenagers climbing up and fighting each other and throwing each other off, and then the guides would get up there and they would want to fight the kids or us, and you know, it was really, really fun. But we were there for like an hour and a half. Apparently the riverboat had broken down at some point, and then it started pouring rain and thundering and lightning, and we're like on the river. So we get back in the boats, we start paddling, and this is like you have to paddle to move kind of paddling. So, you know, a bunch of teenagers who don't know how to be in sync. And so we're like trying to get them to paddle together so we actually make progress. We paddled for 4 miles, and that is way, way longer than you think it is when I say that. It was exhausting. We paddled for about 3 hours without any help from the water. We were just paddling, and then we finally got to this boat. So we were out there way longer than we should have been. We were planning on being. Nobody brought any water, nobody brought any snacks, because you can't have it on the boat and you're going to lose it on the rapids. You know, we thought we were going to eat. And so it was quite a day, but it was really, really cool. So we did that. That trip was amazing, and we were all exhausted. We came home, we were home for I think 8 days or something. And then Jenny and I went on another mission trip with an adult group, and we went to Costa Rica, and we worked with a group down there called the Abraham Project. I don't know how much I told you guys about this already, but basically it's this couple that's been down there for 29 years, and they've worked with locals, and they've gotten integrated into the local culture, and they've helped a church start, and that was the kind of basis for some children's homes that they built so that they could take in orphans. And so for years they took in foster kids and orphans in these houses to kind of give them a safe place while their family kind of got back on their feet and stuff. And they did that, and then they have this daycare of like 300 kids. This is in San Jose, like just a huge city. So they did that for a long time, and then the government changed some of that stuff. But seeing what they built over the years to be able to take care of the community was just unreal. So the government changed stuff. They couldn't do the children's homes anymore, so they started building these small apartments for single mothers. And so these are ladies who have been abandoned, who have small kids. They're usually pretty young, and they don't really have a way out of their situation. So Project Bethany is this new section of it. And they bring these girls in, and they give them a place to live. They teach them life skills. They help them get on their feet, but they also have to get an education. So they help them go to college. And so all of these girls are you know, like late teens, early 20s, and they're getting a college education while learning how to take care of their kids and learning how to be independent and self-sufficient and stuff like that. So it's just a beautiful thing to witness, like just people investing time and money into building homes and building apartments and building infrastructure for these girls to have a chance, you know? And so seeing that was really, really awesome. Also, we got to do some more construction work on a chapel that's being built there on the premises on this project. They're building a chapel to do one of the first weddings of one of the girls after she's like gone through this program. Wow. And they're doing graduations for their college and stuff in there. And anyway, so it's this beautiful little chapel, and we got to paint and do dirt work. And I sent you guys a picture of the teak. So while we were there, this truck came in and they dropped off teak boards for the ceiling of this chapel, and the wood was just gorgeous. And I wanted so badly to help with the wood stuff, but it got there the day that we were kind of finishing up our work. So it was all going to happen after. But yeah, just the whole ceiling is going to be teak. And then there's all the pews that they're going to build. They're going to hand build the pews, and they want me to come back down and like help build the pews out of teak, which is awesome.
Wow.
And so we did that in
the summer.
In the next year, they want to try to have it finished by October. I don't know if I'll be able to make it back down there by then or not, but, I'm definitely want to go back. Jenny and I both want to go back down and help some more. So we did that. And then one day we did like a cultural day. We went and actually got to sightsee a little bit, and we went to a coffee plantation and got to see learn how coffee is produced. And it's like way more complicated and interesting than I expected. Like, I like coffee, but I didn't really know much about it. And it was really, really cool. And now all of the coffee that I have here tastes terrible because the coffee, Costa Rican coffee, is so good. And they have coffee all the time. They have a work break about 3 o'clock every single day, regardless. It's just everything stops and everybody goes to get a cup of coffee. So that was pretty cool. So we went to this plantation and got to tour that and see a lot of stuff. And then we went out into the jungle a couple hours to this waterfall, this like resort thing that's at the top of a mountain. And there's a big waterfall there. And so they've built this resort around it, and they have kind of a little zoo where you see some really cool animals. But then we got to hike down this next to this waterfall. And it was mostly steps and stuff. It wasn't like in the jungle, but just gorgeous. And it was pouring down rain. It felt like you were just in the middle of nowhere, you know. This it was so cool. And we were out there, and I, you know, the rain's just dumping and we're surrounded by jungle, and I was like, I would like a little hut right there. Just put me right there and I'm good. Like, I will live out here in the jungle, deal with all of the crazy animals and stuff. But it was amazing. So we did that, and then one day we took these moms and their kids to an amusement park down there. You know, these are girls that didn't really get a childhood usually. So we took them, and we got to be like babysitters for the little kids, and the girls just went off and had fun for a couple hours, and then we came back and we all did stuff together and everything. But it was really interesting seeing a theme park in another country. That's like not, you know, everything we do, everything we have in regards to that is branded. It's all this, it's Disney and all of the Disney stuff that everybody knows. And it's, you know, and you got Marvel and you got Star Wars and you got all these Mickey Mouse and all the things that you know. And then even if you go to another park, it's all stuff that you've seen on TV and everything. And you go down there and it's like random beaver guy and like... You know, it's just like all these people in costumes that don't mean, maybe they mean something down there.
That is my superhero name, by the way. Random beaver guy.
It was really weird though, you know, just like all of the, you could tell there were kind of storylines going on with the characters and the way they were dressed and the rides and stuff, but I don't speak Spanish, so I didn't really have any idea what was going on. But it was really, really cool. And then we came back on Monday. Got to go to church down there in Spanish, which was really interesting because I don't speak Spanish, and it was a very long service to not know what was going on. But it was cool. It was really cool to see something. You know, for me, that's like a, I know it's not for everybody. For me, that's a big part of my life is my faith and my community at church. And so to see a different community of people down there who have, they share a life together and they do things together and they help each other. And even though I couldn't tell what they were saying, there's a lot of commonality, you know?
Hmm.
And yeah, it was an amazing trip. So we got back super late the other night, and yesterday I just kind of like laid around, slept late, tried to, you know, had to go pick up one of my kids a couple hours away at soccer camp. So we did that. Oh, that was another thing. So when we went to Costa Rica, we left all four of our kids home by themselves for a week, which was,
oh boy,
really weird. It was weird that it was okay. I think that was the thing. You know, it was weird that going into it, we were like,
that was the first time?
Yeah. And we've left them for overnight and stuff here and there, but you know, they're all teenagers.
How young is the youngest?
13.
Oh yeah, he's a big man.
13 to 18, you know, more than capable of being home alone and everything. It's just, we just hadn't ever had a chance to do that for a week. But the weird thing was doing it and being like, oh yeah, they're going to be fine. Hmm. Like there wasn't a question of like, maybe we should have somebody check on them. It's like, yeah, they're going to be fine. And they were, they all survived. Nobody died. Yeah. So
what
I've had a very eventful summer and have not been very productive. I mean, I did a lot of stuff in those 2 weeks that we were back, and I did a lot of stuff in May to try to get ahead. I've already got like the next two videos shot, and we'll start on the third one in a couple of days when I fully get back to everything. So that's good. But, I don't know, traveling, you know, in country, out of country, anytime you travel, and we've talked about this before, but it's perspective. It's just new experience, new people, new rhythms, new, it's so easy to get in our patterns and just like, you know, this is how things are supposed to be, is I'm supposed to work this much, or I'm supposed to spend this much, or I'm supposed to be a part of these things. And then when you break out of that and go somewhere that's totally different, or just have to do something totally different than what you do, it really upset my patterns and my just routines in a good way. You know, it just really kind of made me just want to, I don't know, like loosen things up and change things and nice. Not feel so bound to like, I got to be productive all the time. And I got to, you know, I don't know. It's been really interesting. But
do you think that it will be visible in the videos?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure how yet. I think going into this, especially this last trip, I think I'm starting to wrestle with the, like, what does the rest of my life look like? Not in, I already went through my midlife crisis. That's already over. But not in,
is it?
I mean, it was a couple of years ago. Not in that way, like, you know, who am I? I don't mean that. I just mean like, what do I want? You know, like how long do I want to do videos about making stuff? How long do I want to be bound to what people think about thumbnails? How long do I want to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to give up on those things, but
I jokingly say I'm waiting for my expulsion from YouTube as soon as I turn 60. I'm going to be like, oh, I'll tell you guys something funny. This talk about like the rest of your life. So I got a message the other day. It says AARP magazine, which I can't believe. Like I don't get it, but I'm old enough to get it. You got to be 50. I remember when my mother got AARP magazine and she was like, oh God, my mother's 86 now. So that was 35 years ago when she started getting AARP magazine, which is for retirees basically. Yeah. And, so now I still consider that moment in my memory of my mother getting hers being like, I'll never get there. I'm 9 years past there. And I still in my mind think that that's not for me.
Yeah.
And
it's funny.
Go ahead, Dick.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because just a few days ago, I'm at the doctor's office and in the waiting room, there's an AARP magazine and I took a photo of it. I sent it to Kelly And it's got a picture of Eva Longoria on the front. And I'm like, right. Oh, look, they put young people on the cover of AARP now.
She's just a couple days ago. 57 years old. And so I got a message from an art, you know, you got to vet everything. You just assume someone's trying to get you to click so they could steal your identity. But it said, hey, I'm so-and-so from, I write for AARP, and you've been chosen as one of the top 10 influencers over 50. And I thought it was a total come on. And so when I realized all he wanted to do was talk on the phone for a couple of minutes, it was no interview click or anything. I was like, okay, call me this weekend. So he called me Monday and we had a quick conversation. And I just said, how in the world did I end up on the top 10? He goes, I'll tell you, he goes, we hire a service, a marketing service, and they go out and they do the investigation and they figured that you're one of the top 10 influencers over 50. I was like, I can't believe I'm over 50 and I was saying that. And we both laughed. And I told him my experience, how I think AARP is for my mother, who's 35 years past 50. And we had a couple of laughs. But he interviewed me about how I got started and where I'm going. And I just said, I'm going to go until they kick me out. I said, because I don't have anything else to do. So what does the rest of our YouTube life look like? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to. And when I saw you down there volunteering and building, just like what Jimmy Carter had done for his life, I always see myself doing that. I don't know if I really don't like traveling as much as I did in my entire life. I like sticking close to home now, but I would be happy to do that in and around, you know, locally. I like being able to volunteer and help for people. And I think it's good for the soul.
There's a lot of places that is possible. I was talking to a friend last night who's from Argentina, and he was saying he had the impulse to go with all the stuff in Venezuela. He had the impulse to just get on a plane and go down there and start digging, you know, just to try to get people out of these earthquakes and people that were stuck. And of course that is needed, but there is also stuff like the county here in Kentucky that just really needs help. People just need help. And there are agencies. The way that our group, found those people is there are agencies in different rural areas, I'm sure urban areas too, that kind of like find needs. And their whole point is to find a need and then find somebody to fill that need. So if that is a thing you want to do, or if anybody listening wants to help people, wants to be able to go in and be some kind of hands, you know, to do some work, look for an agency that makes those connections, because they vet the need. They can help resource, you know, gather to fill the need, and they help resource gather for the people to do the work. And so they put all that stuff together. And there's probably something really close to you, wherever you are, that does that. So if that's the kind of work you want to do for a little while, you know, do it on a weekend, do it for a month, do it, whatever. There are so many needs, you know, both out your back door and across the world, that I think if we can, you know, we should help with. We already decided I would like to go back to Costa Rica and work with the same group again this year or in the next year, but we're already going to Guatemala next summer. We already decided there's another opportunity and we're going to go do more of this stuff because it was wonderful. So, but now, David, back to your go ahead.
I was going to say, you have no interest in documenting that for.
No, that's no, not really.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I could see there being value in documenting something like that to like spread the word, to spread there is work to be done. YouTube, you know, there is need, but at the same time, like I don't want to be exploitive at all. And, I would just rather serve, you know. I think there are people who would be really good at showing that type of stuff off and making it available to other people to learn about and stuff, but not me. That's not my thing. David, to your original question, if it's going to show up in the videos, I think as I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to continue to do this whole thing, how long I'm going to do this whole thing, and how I want to split my time with other things, I think that's what'll show up in the videos, is just probably as I start to figure it out, which may take several years, you know, I'm sure it will start to have an effect on like my priorities and my timing and stuff like that. So I think it'll show up that way, but you know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing,
yeah,
but I know it's not going to last forever. And So, you know, just starting to think through the future.
Very good.
Yeah. Man,
what a crazy break we had.
Yeah, for real. It was the longest we've gone since we started recording without recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
what we could tell that we missed each other because we were still sending texts to each other.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, you guys got anything else you want to cover this week? I kind of thought we would go long because we had so much to catch up on, but no.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got some subjects we could talk about, but
yeah,
it's like really more full episode ideas.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, we will be back next week, so we can save that if you want.
So we are recording next week.
Yep.
This is the thing that we do every week now?
Yeah, I think so. That's okay. What we used to do back in the day.
I'm in.
Cool. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters because they're awesome. We had, I don't think anybody quit supporting us in the time that we were off. Maybe they did that I didn't notice, but I don't think so. I'm about to sneeze. I can feel it. Hold on.
Look up.
Okay.
Look up.
Does that stop it or make it happen?
Makes it go away.
Okay. I guess it did. Anyway, thank you, Patreon supporters, for sticking around while I almost sneeze. We're really grateful for the support and for like showing up at David's show and for coming to all of our stuff and for being on our Discord.
There's a couple guys at the go-kart track too. So thank you.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. Coming to that. It's so cool that you all support what we do and are around and just continue to be around. It's really great. Especially our top supporters, this group goes above and beyond, and most of them have for a very long time. So really grateful for them. That's a pretty big deal, Inc. Albers Woodworks, Chad for Mancrafting, Chris McCormick, Dad at Yourself DIY. It's hard to say. Jim from Wiser Bees, Master of None, Nick Ryan, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Low End Design, The New Janky Workshop, Tinius Space Industries, and Works by Solo.
I got to hang out with Odin. We met in person.
Oh, yeah.
It was like meeting a long lost cousin. He's such a sweet guy. Odin, awesome. So good to meet you. And I still owe you a package. I'm going to send that out soon. But like seeing Odin in person, it was just like old friends. And we never actually met in person, but what a sweet, talented guy. We get a big hug when we met. It was so nice.
Cool.
Making me smile.
That's great.
Thank you, Odin.
Everybody on Patreon that supports us at any level gets the after show, which we're going to record right after this. And I feel like I have to sneeze again. Oh, no.
Look up. You're looking down.
But why does looking up make you not sneeze?
I don't know.
Probably maybe opens the passageways or something.
I thought it was like looking at the sun. No, that makes you sneeze. Right?
I don't remember.
Oh, man. I feel like I have to sneeze. I just want to get it over with.
Everybody send Bob sneezing tips.
Yeah. Everybody gets the after show, which we're going to record right after this. Oh, man, it's like stuck in my head.
When I was in seventh grade, my math teacher, the very first day of class, it was kind of like her version of orientation. She insisted, because she went to some wacky private school, she insisted that nobody sneeze during class. She said, hold your sneeze in, practice holding your sneeze in. If you're going to sneeze, which I think is dangerous because you could like pop an eardrum or something. She insisted that we either leave the class to sneeze or that we hold it in. Like this was her priority day one. I remember that wacko.
Weird.
It's like, what are you talking about sneezing? It's the first day of math class.
Anyway. That's pretty wild. Anyway, if you want to get the after show, go to patreon.com/makingit. Sign up at any level for as long as you want. That would be awesome. We greatly appreciate it. Cool. You guys got anything else?
I'm gonna put a challenge out to you guys right now, because if we could turn yet next year's go-kart event into something interesting by having you two, I'm putting it out to, I know Bob's birthday is always the beginning of July. I'll have the go-kart event any day that doesn't correlate with your birthday, Bob. So now you guys have to, come up with a really good excuse. Like you have to go build a house in Costa Rica or something.
I might be in Guatemala, so we'll see.
The month of July. So I'm putting it out there. If you guys want to make a wacky theme go-kart so the three of us could be in the same location at the same time, I'll save you both a bedroom for you and your spouses if you want to bring. But I'm putting it out there. If you guys want to make a wacky go-kart, we're going to do wacky go-karts next year. Wacky, wacky, crazy wacky go-karts next year. Some of the best go-karts by Sam Green from Malecki's channel. He's formerly his cameraman. Sam made a basket, like a big woven wooden basket. And my friend Martin from Kingston came with a big giant rubber ducky. You'll see them in the video. And Musty comes every year. Musty, the famous engine maker, repairer on YouTube. He came with a little tiny thing and almost had skateboard wheels with a chainsaw. And he's as big as me. And he sits on this thing. It's like the size of like a wakeboard with four wheels and a chainsaw engine in the back. It's in the video.
Crazy.
So put it out there. If you guys need some content, if you want to make a wacky, wacky go-kart, making a go-kart challenges all your skills, mechanical, welding. I mean, you can make it out of leather and wood if you want. Make a wacky, wacky electric motorized go-kart. Just putting it out there. That's the theme this year. Wacky, wacky.
Wacky.
I got that from one of the commenters. So if you know who said that, thank you.
Cool.
That's it.
Right on.
Dave's making his excuse to not come already. Go ahead.
I got an art show.
Yeah.
I also have laundry to do.
Yeah.
He's got to wash his hair.
It feels like we're wrapping up, and I do have a pick. If you guys don't have a pick.
I do.
I totally forgot about that. I forgot that we do that.
Okay.
I have a good pick.
And I've been waiting to reveal this pick because I had a great conversation and interview on this podcast called Product Fields with Jim Sammons, who's a supporter of this podcast and my channel. And it was, I was like, hey, are you sure you want me to have you on your product podcast? Because I don't really make products. And he's like, it's going to be a good conversation. And it absolutely was. He is a fantastic host. And so I am recommending Product Fields. And you can choose to listen to my interview or a different episode if you want. But Product Fields is my pick of the week.
Product Fields, F-E-I-L-D-S?
F-I-E-L-D-S. Don't ever ask me to spell again on camera because I will embarrass myself.
Both spelled it wrong. My pick of the week is, why is it so? This popped up for me because I've been watching some physics techniques and some like college educational learning channels like Professor Dave. He does all these controversial videos, but in between he does a lot of teaching who I've talked about. I've been following him a lot. And I think because of Professor Dave, I was recommended Why Is It So? Before Dr. Wizard, there was a TV show called Why Is It So? And I should have done my homework to remember this guy's name, but I'll look it up as we talk. It's a great show that aired from like 1963 to like 75. And it's a show about physics with this particular crazy, wacky physics teacher. Are you guys looking it up?
No, I'm trying to find a pick. I'm listening to you, but I'm just trying
to find a pick. It's an educational science series produced from 63 to 86. And let's see, who was the teacher? Julius Sumner Miller, who's this crazy, wacky guy. I'll show you guys a picture of him. That's Julius Sumner Miller. Looks like a crazy mad scientist.
Cool.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Looks like one of the Three Stooges from here.
He does. He does. And he acts like it. What a crazy personality. From 63 to 86, which is insane. So there's like colored versions of it, black and white. And I never heard of this. I don't know how I never heard of this show. It kind of went right through my childhood. Why is it so? And he talks about like a simple example would be, do you guys ever do the experiment where you suck a hard boiled egg into a bottle? You throw a match into a bottle and then put the egg over in the oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
So simple tricks like that. It's a very, definitely the foundation for Mr. Wizard. So anyway,
check what was the name of the show?
Why Is It So?
Why Is It So? Okay. Cool. And David, I forgot to type yours in. Something Fields?
Product Fields.
Product Fields. Cool. I don't have a great pick because I have not watched anything on YouTube in a very long time. Except I randomly came across this video called I'm Begging You to Ditch Your Stuff. Guy named Nick Mayer, and I don't know anything about him. And I just clicked the video, and it's basically a guy talking about, he's a British guy. So, you know, anytime British people speak, it's like worth listening just because of their accent. But he's basically talking about, he went to a junk sale, like a flea market kind of thing, and was looking through stuff. But then it's all about basically all of your stuff is going to end up in a flea market at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, So the things that we, it's been a while since I watched the video, but the things that we associate with, like, I need this thing because it's attached to this memory. And sometimes, you know, an object can be kind of a trigger for remembering something, but the memory is in you, not in the thing. So the whole video is about not attaching your memory to stuff and trying to just, like, you don't have to have the things. And the fewer things you have, the fewer things your family and your friends have to deal with when you're gone. And it makes it easier on them. So it's actually like a service. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But it was a really good video about just paring down stuff, which I think I was drawn to that because I'm already in that mode of, like, I just have so much stuff. I don't want this stuff, you know. So I'm already trying to figure out how to lighten the load of physical things around me. But it was a really good, thoughtful video. And it's not like, you know, be a minimalist or anything like that. It's just like, look at what you have and, like, why you have it and maybe don't have all of it. It's good though. So go check that out or don't. It's up to you. Cool. Anything else?
I think that's it. Save it for next week. We got a lot to talk about. We got to keep going.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being patient with our travels and our out. And we are back, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you, everybody.